Hola and bienvenidos! The Rangers Rundown, the only podcast featuring two different people, like, all the time. I'm Max, and I'm joined tonight by Mike.
Hey, guys.
But not by Hayden. He has taken up my candle in the Keone Kela Remembrance Service. You gotta keep that light burning. We're looking out for our boy up there in the frozen north. We're sure he's gonna be a part of big things. We are enormous fans of Keone Kela, and we'll support him forever.
But I actually got to see Hayden this weekend for the first time. So
I did hear about this. I mean, I got a lot of messages about this. So how was that?
It was cool. It was cool. So for you guys who don't know, Hayden lives in Waco. I live in Arlington, and he had planned this trip to come up for this series with his parents as soon as they found out the giveaways for this weekend. They had two bobbleheads. One was Vlad Guerrero Saturday night, and then they had one for Mr. Williams, the first Rangers manager ever, today. So so I went just for the bobbleheads myself, and so we met up and said hey. We stood next to each other and listened to the national anthem and shook hands and and then went and watched the game. The Vlad Guerrero thing was kind of cool. He came out with his Latin music blaring on the loudspeakers, and they had Beltre and Pudge and Bartolo Colon come out to introduce him and shake his hand and say thanks for 2010, and it was a nice little ceremony, so that was kind of fun.
I am inordinately glad to hear it. It did look like quite a lot of fun. I was a big fan. My wife was maybe too much of a fan of Hayden's artwork. I'm looking pretty good in the photo that y'all posted on Twitter, but she laughed like more than I actually thought was appropriate given the photo. So apparently it's pretty good. It's good.
That's
content.
Awesome.
I'm sure the internet really loves that stuff. I am looking forward to trying to catch a game in Arlington this year. It is a long drive for me, but I have tentatively lined up some time in September to come and see the Rangers. Hopefully to see Adrian Beltre doing cool things, see all these kids doing fun things, because, man, do we have some kids doing fun things right now.
We have a few.
We do have a few. So I know we have a bunch of kids to talk about. Y'all talked about the returns in this trade. One of those was Taylor Hearn. Came over in the Keone Kela move with Pittsburgh. I actually got to see Hearn's first start with Frisco on MILB TV, so it wasn't phenomenal, but did get to see it. He is big. He is imposing. He is fun. You know, I know he's listed at 6'6", like 210, 220, like y'all talked about. That kid's big. Like, he's no string bean. He's got some presence on that mound. And he can wing it. He was sitting 94-96 in that outing. The off-speed stuff was working for him. I think he had 8 strikeouts and no walks in 5 1/3 innings.
That is correct.
It was fun. It was good. I was cheering. I'm like losing my head here for a 23-year-old kid pitching a double A on the internet in like 120p. It was awful. It's not good broadcast quality, but I was having a lot of fun with it. He is somebody I really want to root for. His story is incredible. I know you talked about his grandfather, Cleo Hearn is his name, I believe.
Yes.
And Cleo. And what a cool story he has and the whole Hearn family. So it's fun to see a Roy City kid coming back to the DFW area. That's always pretty cool. Love to see the hometown boys. Texas SU sort of gunning to bring these kids back into the Rangers fold of late. We've brought a couple of hometown kids or hometown grown-ups, like, you know, Giovanni Gallardo or what have you.
Yeah, I think he has a good chance of being in the rotation as early as, you know, midsummer. You know, maybe after the trade deadline next year when we trade away whatever pitcher that we happen to sign in the offseason and flip him for some more prospects. I could see him getting a call up at that point in time, because he's not that far away. He's really not. He's really close. He's really exciting. He's got something. It's fun because the only pitchers that we have in the upper minors that you can root for, so to speak, you know, are they've got holes in their game, and this guy appears to be the real deal, and that's something to really get excited about.
Yeah, and what y'all talked about in terms of his, you know, likely outcomes, if his pitches kind of keep clicking, we're talking about a mid rotation starter, a dude who looks, I don't know, like Mike Minor sounds bad, so better than Mike Minor, you know, a lefty who can hit the upper 90s with ease and has somewhere between one and two legit, and in this case two legitimate off-speed offerings. That's fun. That's a guy you can dream on. You know, you see that upper 90s, a kid who can hit 100, but he's going to learn on his control, and then he can kind of settle into hitting those upper digits later in his career as he gets more comfortable as a pitcher. This is a really gross comparison that you should never make, but boy, does that sound a lot like Chris Sale. I'm not saying Taylor Hearn is Chris Sale. I've made that that comparison.
But it would be awesome if he was.
Like, Texas is due one of these dudes, right? And Sale was a kid who had... His question was really mechanics. Hearn's is more, can he develop a third off-speed pitch? Or a second off-speed, a third pitch? And these are very different questions. Sale was a different kind of prospect from Hearn, for sure. But when you see a lefty who sits 94, 96, touches 98 regularly, and can rear back for triple digits... The guy who always stands to me as the starter for that is the only guy who does that as a starter right now, and that's Chris Sale. A dude who sits 94, 96, hits 98 frequently, and when he wants to, during the freaking All-Star game, he was gassing it at like 101 miles an hour, which was stupid, but also great.
Yeah.
And I would love to root for a kid like that. So, big, big fan, Taylor Hearn. I hope he shoves for Frisco and then gets his chance with Frisco and with Round Rock next year and is pitching for Texas Midsummer, like you said. Of course, we're still going to follow the guy he came over here for. Keone Kella has pitched twice for Pittsburgh. He has three strikeouts over his two innings, got a walk, couple of hits, hasn't given up a run, so his ERA has gone down, of course, as it will continually. What's up, Pittsburgh? You got yourselves a great pitcher in Keone Kella. I'm going to keep up with him. He's been fun. He pitched in his first appearance in relief, not directly, but eventually, of Chris Archer, who the Pirates picked up at the deadline in a fairly surprising trade. It was getting some traction on the internet for that fact that they gave up Gerrit Cole over the winter for less than they traded to Tampa to pick up Chris Archer. I actually like the Archer trade. I've heard some criticism of it. I like the fact that he's been working with Roy Searidge up there, or Ray Searidge. I think Pittsburgh is a good environment for Archer. You know, there's some questions about his fastball slider usage. None of that works with a very, very heavy fastball team like Pittsburgh. His fastball has been really hittable the last 2 years. His slider is incredibly good, but I like Archer. He's fun to watch. And I look at the Pirates picking up Archer, given their position in the standings, quite a lot like how I saw the Rangers picking up Cole Hamels. They made a move to acquire a starter for that season and for the future, where they were hoping to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, but who they're okay with being a mid-rotation given the money investment. You know, and Hamels is more expensive, but the Pittsburgh Pirates have less money than the Rangers do, so it kind of balances out that way. They didn't get Diekman in that trade. They picked up Kella from the Rangers in an oblique trade. I kind of like what Pittsburgh is doing. I like that they're going in on this sort of stuff. Compete while you've got the pieces. They've got a very fun team up there. Definitely looking forward to watching some more Keone Kella, Chris Archer games. Pittsburgh's very fun. They've got a beautiful ballpark. They seem to play a lot of day games. If you're bored at work and you got MLB TV, pull up some Pirates day games. They come highly recommended from the Rangers rundown. The number one place on the internet to recommend other baseball teams. Yep. Big old what's up. So, let's talk about the Rangers again, instead of talking with the Pittsburgh Pirates on the Rangers rundown. So, last couple of games, we've had some fun stuff. Do you want to talk about Ruggie, Jerickson, Aero Hirado, Drew Hutchison? Like, what's your poison here?
Well, let's start with Ruggie.
Hell yeah. Y'all talked about him a little bit. By a little bit, I mean a good bit. And man, Rumi Nardour is supremely excellent now.
He's on fire.
Just like we all predicted.
Of course. Yeah, we all saw this coming. Yeah, whew. He had a sub-200 batting average for first couple of months of the season. Then all of a sudden, he just caught fire. And now he's, what, 270, 274, somewhere around there, hitter. Mm-hmm. He's got the highest OPS in baseball since the All-Star break. In all of baseball, not just the American League, in all of baseball.
Yeah, you heard it here first, guys. Rumi Nardour, better than Mike Trout.
Exactly. Mike 100%. Mike Trout's number two on that list, by the way. So
wouldn't trade Rumi Nardour for Mike Trout. I wouldn't. Psh. That guy's he's a chump.
I think I might.
Okay. Well, that's why they keep you in Arlington. They've shunted me off of the minors out here in Alabama. Let's talk about Alabama real briefly here. If y'all want to talk trash about my garbage-ass university and the fact that it's essentially a community college attached to a very good football program, that's fine, because that's true. It's a football team with a mediocre community college attached to it. I don't know where I was going with this. Alabama kind of sucks. I have 2 degrees here.
I want Wei J to be there for the ribbon-cutting ceremony when they change it to the University of Alabama School of Physical Education and Sports.
The University of Alabama Institute for Athletic Achievement.
Yes, yes.
He would also fit in well with our baseball team, and he's like a fringe guy, but he would also be the best player in like a modern memory for Alabama, because, man, they're not good at baseball. This is not good. I went to a lot of baseball games here before they even had the cool like right field you can bring beer section, which they did right after I stopped being a student, and that will continue to piss me off for the foreseeable future.
That's funny.
They went the right field Rangers thing. It was my last year as being a student, and it was gross. I don't care for their... it was very rude. So, yeah, Alabama, kind of a garbage academic institution.
That's my dog. They're fine. They're fine. It was just... It was low-hanging fruit for the conversation.
Aren't you an Aggie?
I am.
Right. Okay, so the cult school and Bama's non-academic nonsense, and then Hayden's Baylorisms. We've got a really, really good collection of athletic universities going on up here.
There's some dysfunction in there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my team hasn't guaranteed, what, $75 million over 10 years to Jimbo Fisher, so...
Hey... Oof. He's going to take us to the promised land. Don't be slandering Jimbo.
I'm going to slander Jimbo as much as I want to. But to rerail, back into baseball territory. Yeah, Rumi Nardour, since June 1, that's the date that's been bandied around quite a lot for Rugi. Apparently has some good conversations with Shinsu Chu, which was, I think, a week or maybe 3 episodes ago. But using that convenient June 1 date, he is now slashing 313, 407, 571, the vaunted 345 line.
Yes,
yes, 978 yes. OPS, a 162 WRC+.
Beefy.
He's been incredibly fun to watch. His defense has been good.
Yes.
Like, it's been a really, really freaking good Rumi Nardour time. Like, it's been fun.
It's like we're watching him mature right in front of our eyes. Because I think part
like
of
a fine cheese.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. I mean, you can't just minimize something that happens over an entire season and just point to one thing. But, you know, I think maybe he was a little too proud last year and wasn't listening to what people were trying to tell him about what he needed to do to improve his plate appearances, and just kept swinging at everything when everyone, including myself, was screaming at the TV, take a pitch, you know? And whatever Shinsu Chu said to him, he's listened this year, and he's taken all the fielding with his coaches and put in the work, and it's paying off, and it's fun to watch. It's really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, over this time span, he has his walk rate up over 10%. 10% walks for Rumi Nardour.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, that's nuts. Like, I if you had told me that even in a 10-game span, written our door to post it, minimum 10 games. A 10% walk rate, I would have laughed at you. And here we are. So, a home run and 5 walks in a game, an unprecedented thing in baseball history. Nobody has ever done that in a 9-inning game. And no one has done that at all in a game where the 5 walks were all non-intentional. That's incredible.
Right. Yeah.
Rudman Odor. He's as good as Hank Aaron. It's facts. That's just the reality.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, Ruggie's been great at second base, but Hayden, may he rest in peace at my Keone Kella vigil tonight. Hayden really wanted us to make sure that we talked about Jurickson Profar. And Hayden really wanted to talk about Jurickson's defense, which has been, like, really good.
Lately, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he had that really, really rough patch at short to start the season. His throws were terrible. Like,
yes.
Objectively, they were awful. He was all over the place. But since, I don't know, late May, June?
Yeah.
I think he's really settled in well. He's played a little bit of short then, but Moses has been playing third and some second and first base with a couple of stints in left, I think. He's played a couple of games out there, but a lot of third base. And the arm looks good. The glove looks very good. You know, his footwork seems solid. Jurickson Profar looks like a legitimate third baseman.
He made a Beltre-like play today. He had the barehanded catch and throw to first base to nail the guy just before arriving at first. And I just thought to myself, you know, we don't know what Beltre is going to do, if he's going to come back next year or not. Regardless, I mean, you have to at least think about Profar at third. He's not a guy I want to let go of, because I think that he has more value with this team than he's going to have with any other team looking for a trade.
Yeah, it'd be really hard to evaluate him. That's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Like, I wouldn't mind trading anybody for value, but there are certain players who I just don't see another team offering value for. Joey Gallo is one of them. Jurickson Profar is another. Jose Leclerc is a third. These are guys that, like, if you want to throw me some legit, you know, I'm talking about top-end talent pitching, to get a Jose Leclerc, sure.
Right. Yeah, everyone's tradable at the right price.
You want to, hey, Houston, you want to toss me Forrest Whitley? No, of course they don't. But that's, I mean, I'm asking for legit talent. I've got an impact arm. I want to get impact talent.
Wait, maybe we can get Lance McCullers. Oops.
Yeah.
Oops.
He is hurt. He's got a messed up elbow, apparently.
Yeah, TJS is headed his way.
Oh, no. I can't say that I'm, like, super broken up about that.
But no, I'm not. I'm not. A little schadenfreude on this end. Yeah.
Man. We're going to talk about Houston in a little bit. Hold on to that thought. We're going to talk about Houston. We're going to get there. But we're going to stay positive right now. Talking about Jurickson Profar. I've liked his play at third. He had a great play to end the game against Baltimore in the Saturday game. That just screaming liner he managed to field. He had a beautiful smile he flashed to the entirety of the, like, 60 people left in the stadium by that point. It was fun. Jurickson has long been a household favorite here. My wife and I are big Jurickson fans. He and Yu Darvish, those were her first two, like, favorite players for whatever reason. They were on very different ends of the success totem pole at the time. So Darvish was one of the best pitchers in the game, and Jurickson was, like, a busted-ass minor leaguer, and she just fell in love with both of them. So
maybe she just likes that. Unique names.
Yeah, she's a big fan of the son of Judeska and Chessmond. We talk about that a lot. Jeremy Profar.
Yeah.
But I think he's looked good at third, and he's been good at the bat. So I pulled up his stuff since June 1, said that it's really going to adore. Since June 1st, he's been a 271, 365, 470 hitter, 834 OPS, 126 WRC+. That's with a sub-300 BABIP. It's actually at 270 over that time. He's hitting the ball hard. I mean, he's just doing well. Like, he's been
very Jurickson.
Yeah.
Yes.
So as a righty over that span, he's batting 239, 327, 326. So the power has kind of left his right-handed swing, and from the left side, he's batting 283, 379, 525 for that 143 FPS plus or WRC plus. So then the Switch hitting is valuable. The defense at third has been good. The defense generally has been good. I like having this kind of utility player. I like the fact that we have Jurickson Profar and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa on the same team. That's a lot of flexibility. You could do a lot of stuff with a guy like that. I think it's been cool. It's been very fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it's going to... He's going to be a piece of the puzzle. I don't see them giving him up for the reasons we just mentioned. You know, he's got more value for us. And, you know, I could see him at third base. I could see him doing a lot of different things. But with a guy like that, with his bat, you're going to find a place for him in the lineup.
I think so. Definitely looking forward to seeing Jurickson play for Texas the next couple of years. And I think that this leads naturally into talking about another guy who should be playing for Texas the next couple of years. We've seen a couple of pitching outings from him recently. A great start against Houston, a serviceable start against Baltimore. A guy you wanted to talk about, Ariel Hirado. So, yes. Feed me. What are your thoughts here?
You know, I like him. I mean, he's a ground ball guy. He's not going to get a lot of strikeouts. And
he has not.
No, it's not his game. In the game on Friday, he went five innings, had a grand total of three strikeouts, gave up six hits, a couple of runs, a couple of walks. So it wasn't, you know, a stellar outing for him, but he did what he needed to do to get the team to a victory. And I could see him being a kind of a bottom of the rotation kind of guy, maybe a number four, number five. He's not going to overwhelm anyone, but you know there's a place for him on this team. If for no other reason, as a placeholder until the cavalry of the young guys, Hans Kraus and you know Et Al, all the young guys that we're preying on. Well, I'm talking about lower than that, and you know Cole Reagans or someone like that that's still in single A ball that. He's going to be here for a while, and you know maybe he's not going to be spectacular, but he has a look that he belongs, and that's refreshing to see. I was very happy watching him having back-to-back decent performances.
I like the glasses too.
Of course,
I'm a fan of the cockles.
Yeah, but it makes me miss the sunglasses for Chavez.
Jesse Chavez, yeah. And his incredibly good bathrobes. I'm glad y'all talked about those. Those were fantastic.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, Tyler Thomas. If Tyler Thomas, he is a guy I look at kind of like Hunter Cole in the Sam Dyson trade. If Tyler Thomas is a guy we're talking about as being even kind of a prospect at some point, big win in the Jesse Chavez deal. I love the fact that Chavez would come in here and pick up some value and be able to move him. Like I think you said in the Sunday episode, or in Thursday's, was not expecting Jesse Chavez to be anything more than putrid this year, and he was quite a lot more than putrid. So kudos to the Rangers for moving him for anything that might be of potential value. Very cool. But... Ariel Hirado, I've liked watching him so far. I'm with you here. I think he's going to be a guy who figures into Texas's rotational puzzle, you know, calculations for the next couple of years. He's a dude who looks kind of like what Martin Perez has sort of ended up being. You know, we had bigger dreams for Martin Perez.
I think that's a pretty low bar there. I think that.
Well, no. Hopefully. I think Martin Perez has actually been a really useful piece, though. Martin Perez has been awful for the last, like, a year and a half. But Martin Perez was he was just above league average as a back-end ground ball starter who could eat up some innings. And if Ariel Hirado can just slot in as a four, great! He's three! Like, he's a homegrown pitcher who doesn't cost you anything. And if that guy can go there and just pitch 180 innings of four ERA, awesome! Like, you don't have to go pay $8 million to find a Doug Fister to do that. You got Ariel Hirado doing it. And that's, like, the whole value that Martin Perez has provided the last couple of years. And he's been a not good pitcher, but a guy who kept the ball on the ground, who fed the ball into a pretty decent infield defense, gets a lot of double plays because he puts guys on base, yes, but whatever. And, you know, gets his outs. And if Hirano can step in as a Borp and just do the same thing, awesome. Love it. I don't think he's got the stuff to profile as, you know, your next Cole Hamels or Yu Darvish or, you know, your top of the rotation guys. But if you can just produce fours and fives off the farm, that's good value. Like, you need to get those guys. Otherwise, you're paying, you know, 34-year-old... How old is Doug Fister now? 80? I don't know. You're paying guys like Doug Fister and Matt Moore. What up? You're paying those dudes to come and fill those back-end rotation slots, and you have to trade for them. Why did we trade for Matt Moore? Or you have to sign them and then watch them get hurt. Or whatever. If you can have a, you know, a 23-year-old come out there and produce that stuff for you for arbitration or pre-arb money, roll tide. Like, that's good value. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hope that he can aim higher than Perez. Just, for me, Perez has just been a perennial disappointment. I mean, Hirano can figure something out. He can be one of those deceptive pitchers that, you know, he can get away with a little bit and maybe be a little bit above par, above replacement level, I guess.
I would, and I'm not trying to root against Aaron Hirano here. I think the advantage he has over Martin Perez is that I'm hoping he turns into Martin Perez, as opposed to Martin Perez, who was getting some like insanely optimistic Johan comparisons. Like, people thought Martin Perez's changeup was Johan Santana, and that was a little optimistic.
Yes.
So when I look at Aaron Hirano, I'm like, hey, dude, if you can just like pull some 100 to 110 ERA pluses, it's a win. Like, that's a fine bar. Because, you know, like, 2016 Martin Perez, 2017 Martin Perez, too. You're talking about a league average, slightly above league average pitcher. Over those 2 years, he tossed 383 innings, ERA plus of 102. He was an average, slightly above, you know, within very tolerances. Yeah, yeah, within tolerances, an average pitcher over almost 400 innings. That's valuable. If you can get a guy to go out and do that. And I think, you know, we can hope that Hirano's a little bit better, maybe like 105, 110 ERA plus guy. With his lack of strikeout stuff, he's not going to be an ace. But if you can go out there and get outs, get those ground balls, keep guys off the bags as you get double plays, that's a useful piece. I'm a big fan of him. I hope he makes it work. I like the fact that he's Panamanian. Not a lot of Panamanian guys in the bigs. It's cool that the Rangers will pick up some talent out of Panama. Let's go. Also, what's up, Aaron Hirano? Good luck. Your next game is against the Yankees.
In New York.
Oh, dear is right. Oh, no. Ariel, it was, we hardly knew ye.
Luckily, I won't be at that game.
No.
I guess I'll get a, who will I get?
Are you going on, which day are you going?
I'm going on Sunday.
Okay, so Friday is minor. Oh, no. Do you get Martin Perez on Sunday?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yikes.
I'm going to try and pull up a projection here.
Okay.
Because we're doing like a weird, funky six-man rotation kind of thing.
Right.
So I think you might get Bartolo on Sunday.
No, he doesn't pitch until Tuesday, right?
Yeah, but
I'm not going to get him. I may get Hutchinson again. Because they have an off day.
No, there's no off days for like a month. Rangers play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
So the way I'm seeing it right now, Hutchinson went today. Martin Perez goes against Wade LeBlanc tomorrow.
Damn it! I get Perez.
You're gonna get Perez or Colon.
Awesome. I'd love Colon. Perez. Yeah. Oh well.
Because Martin's gonna go on Monday. Bartolo will have an opportunity. So, I don't know if you all know this, but if Bartolo Colon wins on Tuesday, he will hold the record for the most wins by a Latin-born pitcher. Am I right?
You're stealing my bit. What are you doing?
I'm stealing it only because I'm also stealing Hayden's bit, because it'd be Bartolo Colon head-to-head with Felix Hernandez. So, split loyalties. This is the real reason Hayden's not with us tonight. He's too busy trying to figure out where he's going to be rooting on Tuesday.
Yeah. So, that's going to be a tough one for him.
Yeah, Yovani Gallardo goes Wednesday. Jurado is lined up for Thursday against the Yankees, and then it'd be Mike Minor on Friday, which, man, am I not looking forward to Mike Minor pitching in Yankee Stadium. Minor had a very encouraging start against the Orioles, but that's a great way to screw up any good thing you've got going, is to go with like the third best lineup in baseball, which destroys left-handed pitching, which, God. I see Perez going Saturday again, and then Colon Sunday, but they could also throw somebody else in that mix.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see what we get. I mean, we could continue the frickin' Drew Hutchinson experience.
Yeah, we don't need to do a deep dive on that, but...
Yeah, shallow dive. Drew Hutchinson, not very good.
That was a failed bit today.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Looks like we got a 4A pitcher on our hands. Really good at AAA, but... He can't get
didn't have
major
any
leaguers
of those.
Out. Yeah.
Certainly didn't have any of those lying around. Just that guy. Glad we added that. Anyway, moving along. Eero Hirado, RIP in pieces. The Yankees are going to have fun. But if we drop a couple of games there, who cares? Let's win the Mike Minor game, have Ariel pitch a competitive thing. And I really don't really care at all what Martin Perez or Bartolo Colon do. Let's get some losses. Keep our draft pick solid.
Yes. Team tank.
Team tank. So, man, this is not an easy transition then. Talking about team tank, you got to flip around to watching the Rangers right now doing things that don't make sense for their immediate win window. You know, the Rangers are not doing things to add wins. They were not adding at the trade deadline. We, in fact, the opposite. We sold. That is not true of all of the teams in the state of Texas. Houston's a very competitive team, quite clearly, just coming off of a World Series win, making their moves to round out their roster in anticipation of another deep playoff run. And they added Roberto Osuna at the trade deadline.
Woof.
The closer for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's been an excellent baseball player. Really, really fantastic pitcher. He's very young. I think he's like 24, 23. You know, he came up young. He's a kind of a Keone Kella all the way situation where he debuted quite young and was immediately excellent, and they made him their closer. The difference between, say, Keone Kella and Roberto Osuna is that, to my knowledge, Keone Kella has never like viciously attacked a domestic partner.
Yeah, Osuna is a really crappy human. That's the difference right there.
Yeah, that's a pretty big difference. So Roberto Osuna in May was rung up for domestic violence charges. MLB did their own investigation. They put him on leave and then investigated, and they found enough in that investigation to suspend him for 75 games. It's the second longest suspension in baseball that I'm familiar with for such an incident. I think only... Oh, what was his name? Cuban prospect, Dodgers, Hector Olivera. Only Hector Olivera has received a longer suspension for DV. Olivera's out of the sport now. I don't think he'll ever play in the bigs again. And wasn't as good a talent, but also had a similarly awful case. The Astros picked up Osuna. They sent Ken Giles. I think a player to be named later as well. I think there were some minor leaguers involved in this. But they basically just made a move to increase their talent. Osuna will not be suspended for the playoffs, unlike, say, Robinson Cano. Cano's on-field problems with his PED suspension will prevent him from playing the playoffs, but apparently beating, in this case, a woman is not enough for MLB to decide to suspend you from the playoffs, so Osuna will be potentially closing games for Houston come October.
I don't like this. I spoke to you before we got on the air here. I think that any guy that is proven to commit a crime against a woman, be it, you know, some kind of abuse, be it some kind of, you know, something sexual in nature, I think they should be banned for life. I think there's a special place in hell for men who commit crimes against women and children. And that's just the way I've always felt.
Yeah, I mean, expanded. It's not just men against women and children. It's anybody who's in that kind of home or intimate situation, you know, where you're putting somebody in a position where they cannot retreat, they cannot leave, because this is their home. You know, this can, I think it's most commonly statistically associated with men being aggressive physically and emotionally, verbally, towards women and children, but it does apply to women as well. I mean, most famously, I think, in our kind of sports parlance, with U.S. women's national team goalkeeper Hope Solo a couple of years ago, who's rung up a couple of times for similar charges. But the nature of my work investigating child abuse indicates that it's not simply a gendered thing, but it is more commonly associated with men, and it's gross and bad. This is activity that the overwhelming majority of people will tell you is unconscionable and strictly wrong and in no way something that they endorse or allow. And yet, it happens constantly. It's something like 1 in 5 relationships involve domestic abuse of some sort, which is really horrifying.
Wow.
Oh, it's an enormous number. Yeah, it's probably more than that. I might be understating it. It's a really, really high number. For when, like, 96% of people polled will say, oh, domestic abuse is terrible, I would never do that kind of thing. It happens all the time. It's really, really common. And seeing Houston be so blasé about taking on a guy with this kind of... And that's just Houston. Anybody. It doesn't care. It doesn't bother me. I was a big Houston fan a couple of years ago. When they were terrible, I watched Houston games constantly. They were really fun. I enjoy the team. I don't really mind the Houston-Texas, you know, rivalry. I only get mad when Houston people try and, you know, holler at me on the internet. And that doesn't happen very often. It's not an Astros thing. I don't care about this rivalry here. Any baseball team deciding to continue the Roberto Osuna experiment right now and trading for him while he was still frickin' suspended to bolster their bullpen during a playoff run, it's gross. It's incredibly gross. Houston had this whole thing about second chances. They got real big.
It wasn't about second chances. No, they had a zero tolerance policy.
Oh, yeah. We can start there.
There were no second chances. That's the way they were supposed to be conducting their business.
Well, according to the Astros, that zero tolerance policy is only for their own guys. You know, it's zero tolerance, but if somebody else did it, what the hell kind of zero tolerance policy is that?
That's like a Trump bullshit, smoke and mirrors. I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's a half tolerance at the very least. Like, it's a 1.5 tolerance policy.
Yeah, and I don't know. Stuff like that just drives me crazy, because it's like, oh, we're never going to do this. Yeah, but now we did.
They just kicked a guy out of their organization, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
They had a minor leaguer that they cut. And Verlander and McCullers both had strong statements about that.
Very strong things. Yeah, someone dug up their tweets and they mm-hmm. just were outraged. But, oh, let's welcome Osuna into the organization. He said he's sorry. He said he's not going to do it again. We believe him. So, all is well.
And I haven't super dug into it, but from I've seen, some of their players have been this very much like, I suppose we have to wait for the facts, and I guess I can't really say, like, it's put some of these players in a really awkward position, mm-hmm. where I think that they would like to condemn this guy coming on, but they know it will tank clubhouse stuff. And will tank their relationship with their own employers should they come out and say, I wish my boss hadn't been a complete dirtbag. And that sucks.
Yeah.
But I think Justin Verlander, for example, is a guy who does not care and will voice his opinions when he has the opportunity to do so. Yeah, Lance McCullers is a dude I haven't super loved, but is another guy who I think is quite outspoken and will speak his piece. And The zero tolerance thing led directly into the statement that was released today. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. They published it this afternoon.
I did.
And Houston, their management talked quite a lot about second chances. And I'm a guy who that I, like I mentioned earlier, my work deals in second chances. It deals with people who didn't just simply, quote, make a mistake, but have truly and deeply screwed up, have done bad things. I have done prison rehabilitation work. I have done criminal work. I do child abuse and neglect work. I work with people who made serious, borderline unforgivable mistakes as a daily course. It's what I do. And I have to believe in second chances. It's a really important part of the nature of this work. You have to believe that people can redeem themselves. Texas employs Matt Bush, who, in a drunk driving rampage, ran over a motorcyclist's head and almost killed a man, and then fled the scene. That's pretty rough. There was a lot of criticism about Texas signing Matt Bush at the time. I'm also, as you guys referenced so delicately last week, an Alabama football fan. And Alabama has brought on players who were accused of, or later convicted, or should have been convicted of things that were not good. And you have to believe in second chances to some extent for some of these guys. Matt Bush went to prison. He paid whatever debt the courts declared that he owed and went through quite a process to get to where he is today. I wasn't, you know, 100%, hell yeah, bring this guy in, he's great, when Texas added him, but I think he's done all the things. He's checked all the boxes that you would expect to check out of someone who is truly repentant for what they did and who is trying to improve themselves. And I'm not going to say that that doesn't apply to Roberto Osuna. I don't know the man. He may be a dude who truly regrets, not a mistake, you can't say it's a mistake, but a terrible thing. A guy who wants to try and overcome this and move beyond it and get better. He may be that person. You can't say you're interested in giving a second chance to a dude who did something less than 4 months ago. We don't even know how badly he's screwed up his first chance yet. He hasn't gone to court. The details have not been made public. I think it's a little callous and a little short-sighted and incredibly out of touch for Houston to talk about second chances on a guy who is so briefly removed from ruining one of the chances that we expect people not to ruin, which is to not physically abuse persons with whom you're in an intimate relationship. I find the whole second chances thing to be, frankly, bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. To me, it's just, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the Cowboys, sadly, that the Cowboys are a win no matter what it takes kind of organization. And that's what the Astros seem like to be doing here. I mean, it doesn't pass the sniff test. You just look at it and go, yeah, this isn't right. This kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah, I assume you're referring, I guess, most recently to the Greg Hardy situation with Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In his machine gun couch, as they refer to it, that he threw a woman on top of. Yeah. Oh, awful, awful, awful stuff. Yeah, and the Cowboys have done it over and over again. They've always had bad character guys, and it rubs me the wrong way. And it's one of the things that I'm kind of happy about with the Rangers organization, Matt Bush aside. I mean, he did some bad stuff. Like you said, he served his time, and he's been a good citizen since that point in time. Mm-hmm. I just don't like having bad character guys on the team.
Yeah, and it's not simply serving time. You know, it's not simply that Matt Bush went to prison, therefore he's fine. It's that the Rangers looked at a guy who had done this, who had gone through some of these steps already, who was working at a frickin' Golden Corral, a former, who's number one overall, right? Was he
right.
The first overall pick by the Padres?
Yeah.
A number one overall MLB draft pick who was working in the kitchen at a Golden Corral on prison work release, and they went through the step that they sent him to Roy Silver, or I guess he was already working with Roy Silver, and he's who, but whatever. They kept him with Roy Silver, and I think it's a differentiable situation. You're talking about a guy who had spent years after his incident having to think about that, having to come to terms with that stuff, who had gone through what we as a society have apparently decreed to be that process. You know, you can I think you can fairly question whether the efficacy of that system is adequate. You can say, is it truly appropriate that you can drunk drive in like your 17th or whatever drunk driving incident? Because Bush had many.
Oh, he had lots of incidents.
And more than he was convicted of. He had many stops that he was
talk
his way out of and that kind of thing. You can question, and I think this is fair to talk about Texas, you can question the efficacy of the system that determined that Bush had paid his debt. You can say, well, he paid a debt. I don't know that he paid all of it. No, he did what the courts asked him to do, and maybe that wasn't fair. That's a different question. I understand that question. I'm in court every couple of days talking about whether or not folks have done what they needed to do. I understand that. But questioning the system aside, Bush did do those things and has displayed the appropriate level of progress that one would ask of someone who is being given a second chance. He has not gone on some drunk driving rampage in the last 18 months. He hasn't been drinking at all. He doesn't even freaking drive. Like, his dad has to drive him places, I think.
Yeah, he does. He's his accountability partner.
His father, he's like a 30-year-old Major League Baseball player whose dad has to drop him off at the park and pick him up every night. Like, Little League. That's very, very different from, in my opinion, from a team actively seeking out a player who is still going through the process of being accused of and of, you know, that process being adjudicated for domestic assault. And a pretty gross domestic assault from what information has been made public. One that was bad enough that MLB said 75 games, goodbye. Like, that didn't just happen. We're not talking about, what did Chapman get? He discharged a firearm into his garage after potentially laying hands on a woman. He walked into his garage and released rounds in rage, and he got suspended for less. MLB suspended this guy for more than they did Aroldis Chapman shooting a gun in anger. I don't like it. I don't feel like that anybody would trade for that and then would, like, not just double down, but, like, triple down on defending it. I don't care for it. I don't think there's a place for that in the modern game. I don't think there's ever been a place for that, and baseball has done a good job of trying to modernize itself in certain ways. I certainly don't think there's a place for that in 2018.
I agree.
So, the Texas Rangers, they're fun. They don't employ any domestic abusers that we're familiar with. You should keep watching them.
Yes.
Yep.
Keep watching the young guys. We're rebuilding.
There's some fun ones.
Yes.
Yeah, Jeff Springs, he pitched today. He looked good.
Love that guy.
There's some good kids out there. We've got some prospects coming up. We should hopefully see a couple of these kids coming up off the farm. I'm actually pretty excited for roster expansion in September, which is really weird.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
It's not a thing.
Five new guys.
I'm looking forward to seeing, like, Scott Heineman and maybe Andy Ibanez is going to come up. That'd be kind of fun.
Maybe Brady Feigl?
Brady Feigl, for sure. He's going to be up there. I know Busey. Shout out. He's going to love seeing his boy Andy Ibanez playing up in the bigs. But, like, we got some kids who make sense to feature on this roster come September. There may be some August trades. I know one August trade is already in the works. It was announced this afternoon that Tyson Ross got put on trade waivers and was immediately claimed by the Cardinals.
Bobby.
So let's start that. Let's start that conversation real frickin' early. It's August 5th and we're already going through trade waivers, so. But I imagine we'll see commentary on Chu and Beltre. Andrews will probably be put through trade waivers. I mean, maybe Jurickson Profar. And most everybody gets put on those trade waivers. And if they get claimed, they get pulled back. But some guys are on the fringes. Chu and Beltre. And I don't know who else makes sense there. Miner, maybe? I don't know if we'll actually even bother to put him on those. Gallardo? I have no idea.
So, Cologne?
He's going to get put on him. I don't think it's going to be a conversation about claiming, but we'll see.
Right.
Hey, if Bartolo sets that record, someone's going to come knocking.
I just want to see it happen. That's all I want.
And when the Globe Life Park gets a rockin', please come a knockin'. That's Texas for you. Please come retrieve our 45-year-old starters.
Yes.
Take them away from us. We do not deserve them. Well, Thursday. Are you excited?
I am.
I am very much looking forward. So as I think it was you who hinted at the end of our last episode, we should have a beauteous guest joining us come Thursday. Good old Tepid participation.
You know, it was Mike Tepid.
Michael Tepid, potentially.
Yes.
Owner-operator of the greatest Texas Rangers-affiliated Twitter handle, at Tepid Participation. Frequent Lone Star Ball contributor.
All around great dude. Guy. Yes.
Yeah, all the
yes.
way around. Yes. Will be joining us on Thursday to wax poetic on the children. And as we have also discussed, Dave Nichols will be joining us the week after to talk about Spokane.
Really excited about.
Yeah.
We've got some really interesting guys playing in Spokane right now. That there may be more electricity there than anywhere else in the organization.
Spokane is really fun. It's really down to Spokane and like maybe the AZL team in terms of just all around crazy fun talent. There's some cool guys at Down East.
Yes.
It would behoove us. Yeah, Hickory's got a couple. It would be an enormous disservice to Hayden if we did not reference the fact that he wanted us to talk about Stephen Bruce. Started tonight for Down East, went 9 innings, 5 hits, no runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts, completed the complete game shutout on only, I believe, 98 pitches. So that's a Maddox.
Wow.
Love the Maddox. Stephen Bruce, literally no idea who Stephen Bruce is.
No, me either.
And I like
didn't know that name.
That I follow these things.
Yeah.
He's 26. He's from Flower Mound. What's that, DFW? Okay. There you go. He's got 13 starts for Down East. Man, I feel like I should know who this guy is. I'm sorry, Steven. But yeah, that's the thing. Spokane went. Spokane's doing some fun things. Hans Krause for sure. Curtis Thies Terry. But they've got a couple other names. Julio Pablo Martinez or JP Martinez. He's really exciting. Jax Biggers was in the College World Series with Arkansas. We've got a couple other guys. Diosbel Arias is really interesting. I know AJ Morris posted a thing on
the best guy you don't know anything about.
Yeah, Arias is having a great season for a short season in Spokane. Isaias Quiroz is on that team. He's occasionally fun. He's a catcher. They've got some pitchers who are fun. Ty Tiedemann had a good start for them today. There's a couple of dudes in this roster who are absolutely worth talking about. So we will have Dave Nichols on to discuss that in 2 weeks. I know we're all looking forward to it. He can tell us what we think about Emmanuel Clase, who I believe has moved on. But if he hasn't, Emmanuel Clase, going to be fun to talk about. He's having a good season.
Yes.
He came over in the Brett Nicholas trade, if I remember right.
He did.
So, Emmanuel Clase. It's a little name to stick in the back of your heads. So, we will have these guests on. We will be bringing friend of the podcast, Kevin Carter, back on in the immediate future. He will join us and discuss his favorites in the Texas League, and we will talk about the big league team and guys to look forward to. So, plenty of guests coming up for us. We got plenty of content rolling out. We hope you're still enjoying the pod. Give us your feedback on email or Facebook or Twitter. Holler at us. Let us know what's up. But Mike, have you got anything else to add?
Go Rangers.
Go Rangers indeed. That's always fun to hear. I definitely approve of the Texas Rangers. I think they should be fun. Let's see what they put together. Go Taylor Hearn. Woo!